This is Kurt Hosworth for Public Radio 90 and also the host of Class Eclectic on Public Radio 90 WNMU. I'm on the phone with a very special guest today. He is a composer of music that has been called groove-oriented chamber music, but that is one way of calling the music of Gernot Wolfgang. And welcome to the phone line and welcome to the airwaves, Gernot.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, great to be with you as well. So we're talking about a new release of chamber music that you've developed that, like I'd mentioned, is called Groove-Oriented Chamber Music. And the name of this album is Vienna and the West. Can you tell us a little bit about how this came to be? Because I know you're originally from Austria, correct?
Yeah, that's true. From Innsbruck, Austria.
So you brought a little bit of your homeland and maybe a little bit of that home of classical music to a move to California, to the West. So can you tell us a little bit more about how you've developed your composition style and how this album came to be?
Yeah, ironically, although I grew up in Austria, I was a jazz musician while I was living there. Jazz was my first musical love. People like Oscar Peterson, Jim Hall, Wes Montgomery. And over time, I got more and more interested in contemporary classical music and also film music, which prompted me to move to Los Angeles. So as a hobby, I started writing chamber music, and I noticed that the more and more I got into contemporary classical music, I was fascinated by the additional possibilities that concert music had to offer, you know, extended harmonies, big forms, added instrumentations. But the one thing that I was missing was the excitement that a well-played groove, from be it from jazz or from rock or from Latin American music, other world music, that kind of groove generates both in the musician and the listener. So I thought maybe I have a niche here, and it became intrigued with the idea of incorporating some of these grooves into a classical idiom. And that's pretty much how the groove-oriented chamber music developed. And I was also at the same time trying to give this new element its proper place right away, and then not have it dominate the music altogether, but just be it an added element among all the other great devices that concert music has to offer.
Absolutely, and I know what you're talking about when you talk about that feeling that you just get inside you when you hear a good jazz riff or a good jazz groove, where you got to move a little bit. And that doesn't always seem like it happens with some, at least more traditional classical music, but that definitely piques my interest in terms of, you know, expanding the bubble of maybe the thought of what classical music could be, and maybe getting away from always giving it some kind of title. So it's nice to hear that sounds like you're opening the door a little bit more to invite in some more different kinds of sounds to what you might hear in the concert hall, or if you're listening to a good chamber music concert somewhere, or maybe you want to tap your toes a little bit. And you know, you said you moved to LA as well. And when you moved to LA, did you also stay involved with the jazz scene, or were you kind of dipping your toes in different places? How did that experience go for you moving to LA?
Well, I was looking for a different direction. I was not looking to still stay in the jazz scene. I came here to become a film composer, and I followed that path for several years. At the same time, like I mentioned before, as a hobby, writing chamber music. And when I realized that the concert music was well received both by musicians and audience, I thought I should take this a little bit more seriously, and I decided to go on a two parallel track career. On one hand, I wanted to stay involved in film music, and I'm now an orchestrator for film, television, and video games. And on the other hand, I really wanted to give the concert music track a fair chance.
Right, and that's a really exciting world to be in, where you're able to be involved with maybe two different camps, or, you know, lots of different musicianship. And when we look at who's involved with the recording of this, I'm sure you made a lot of friends along the way. You've got members of the Los Angeles Philharmonic, the LA Chamber Orchestra. You've got a lot of great studio musicians as well. So how was your experience in gathering musicians to be a part of this project? And was it difficult, or did you find it pretty easy since you were kind of involved in the film score side of things and the chamber music side?
Well, I've been here for a while, since 1996, and so I had a chance to make friends with many great musicians. So, and fortunately, everybody I asked agreed to play on this record, and they kept the dates open, so I feel really lucky that, you know, to have been able to work with these wonderful, wonderful players, and many of them are my personal friends, so... to answer your question, no, fortunately, it was not hard to get the musicians for this album.
And I'm sure they bring everything they can to this, especially when there's a lot that's, you know, comes to be from this listening experience, because, you know, there's the groove side of things, and there's also some meditative pieces as well. Can you tell us a little bit about the thought process behind blending those two and having maybe a little bit of a contrast between sounds?
Yeah, I think you just said it. For me, it's important to have balance. I'm not a big friend, or you know, maybe it doesn't come naturally to me to write a piece in just one certain way. So if there are fast and energetic and groove-oriented passages, I'm always trying to balance them out by musical areas where the listener can rest and where things go more, as you said, meditative and more pensive, maybe.
And with these pieces, looking at some of the track listings, we also have impressions that come to be a little bit later on, especially with A Carnival in Venice. Does this music live in Vienna? Does it live in the west of the U.S.? Does it live anywhere else? I guess this is a little more of an open-ended question. Where does this music live, or does it really settle down anywhere?
Well, that is really a good question. And the Venice would be, in this case, Venice, California. So the boardwalk in Venice, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's a very vibrant and lively place. And lots of really interesting characters there and lots of stuff going on at all time of the day. And that was basically the trigger for this specific movement. Does it live here or more in Vienna? I think this one probably lives a little bit more in America, except maybe for the middle part that's a little quieter and strings only. But at that time, when I wrote this piece, which was in 2002, it wasn't so much about melting the two locations and, you know, consciously drawing from both. That came a little later, about 5-6 years ago, where I really consciously got interested in blending Second Viennese School with jazz.
So the story kind of filled itself out a little more later on in the composition process?
Yes. I became more and more aware of, especially when there was a time when I was trying to expand my musical vocabulary, and it occurred to me that I was always intrigued by the music of Schoenberg, Berg, and Webern, and on an emotional level, and it made perfect sense to me since I was born in the country where all this originated. So I thought, okay, so maybe that's the direction I need to go next.
Sure. And when you mentioned Schoenberg, sometimes that can prick up the ears of classical music listeners. It's not always for everyone. But when you have music influences like that also pull a little bit from, you know, let's say you've got some jazz history, you know, bringing a little bit more of a groove into it, do you think that might be a passage to invite more listeners to listen to classical music that might feel more challenging to them, like if they have some preconceived notions?
Well, it's certainly the hope. I don't think about that consciously while I'm writing music. I think about mainly what I would like to hear when I go to a concert, and that's the kind of music that I that I end up writing. And if it connects with other people and if it draws in other people to classical music, that's great. And actually, I have gotten comments to that effect that of people who said they were initially skeptical and then were pleasantly surprised.
Right, right. And that seems to be the case for a lot of classical music concerts. Some people may not, they'll have some of their standards they may know, or maybe they heard something from Looney Tunes or something in the past, whatever it is that was their original chestnut of knowledge. And usually if they have an experience with classical music, then it'll be most likely a positive one. They'll say, I was surprised in a pleasant way. And just a reminder, we're speaking with Gernot Wolfgang. He's the composer of a newer album called Vienna and the West, and he's got roots in Vienna, but also roots in the jazz idiom and roots in film score music, and this is kind of the output over some time of his compositional process, maybe we can say, over the years, and in a little bit more of a melting pot situation. Gernot, is there anything else that you'd like to add about the composition process for this album? I know we've talked about the musicians, we've talked about a little bit of your past and your musicianship as well. Is there anything else you'd like to add about this?
Yeah, often I like to create images in my mind that serve as inspiration for the concept, for the composition, I want to say. So much of the music is programmatic, and I'm not sure where that comes from, but it may have to do with my affinity to film music. And for instance, the piece Windows is an image of somebody walking down a hallway that's lined periodically with windows and taking a peek out to the outside world. And with every new window, the person gets a different view, a series of parallax views, basically, of the outside. And that was the inspiration for that particular piece. And there are similar image or, you know, other images for the other pieces on this record.
Right, right. And, you know, we could probably talk at length about film scores. I'm a big fan of film score music myself. But it's nice to hear that you have that appreciation for the image of the music as well as the technical side of it, too. Do you always tend to compose with like a central image in mind, or does that sometimes come later on in the composition process?
Yeah, that's a great question too. Sometimes it's very obvious from the beginning what about I want to write, and sometimes I just write, and after the piece is done, I still have no idea what it is about. and it comes later. At one point, in one example, it came to me when somebody said, you have to write program notes now. So I sat down and it all unraveled and the piece started making sense to me programmatically. And so it's about catching up with your subconscious mind and over time learning how to verbalize what's been going on inside.
Well, it sounds like it all came together as it should. You know, it took the appropriate amount of time and the appropriate amount of thought to go into, again, the album called Vienna and the West from Gernot Wolfgang, a newer album of his, eight pieces altogether, a little bit of Vienna, a little bit of America, and a lot in between, and all about both of them. Gernot, thank you so much for taking the time today to speak to us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.